Hi, Wendy. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It's the Friday version of our show. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's the greatest day ever invented. Look outside, Wendy. You can't beat this.
It's summer in the city. Back of my neck getting glistening and gritty. I'm not going to say dirty.
No, it
women
is,
don't
though.
Get dirty. What, you
look? Yeah, I do. Well, I was told to look by other people here. They go, "What's going on with the back of Wendy's neck?"
It's did your mom
dirty and gritty?
Did your mom check the back of your ears after you got out of the shower when you were younger? Did you wash behind your ears? Because my mom did.
No, there
she
wasn't.
She didn't trust
much.
Me. She was a smart woman.
Well, right. There's reasons to not trust you, isn't there? Thanks to everybody who filled in over the last couple of days. Harry Tynowitz was here. Brian Noonan was here. Frank Fontana was here. So thank you to all of those guys for filling in. Greatly appreciated.
I don't get to partner swap at home, so I thought I'd do it
anymore. Anymore.
Not that I don't get to. I don't want to.
What's holding you back? Is something stopping you? Or?
I love my hubby.
I first saw you and Jim on an episode of Real Sex 8 on HBO years ago, and I said, those people, wow.
Fake sex.
Wow. Right. One time I was watching, remember that show Real Sex on HBO? I was watching that show and a girl that I went to college with was on that show.
One you dated?
No.
Okay,
I
good.
Did not date. I was,
she was too fast for you.
A quick answer.
It just surprised me.
What was her role?
Well, you've seen the show, right, Steve?
Yeah,
at some
sure.
point. For people who have never seen the show, they would always do...
Before the internet, that's all there was.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's kind of true.
And that was a little too much for me. Imagine the internet.
It was always three stories about weird sexual doings.
Fetishes,
right?
And differences.
Yeah. And every time I watched it, I always remembered myself as a younger child watching television at my grandparents' house. And whenever there was something even remotely racy to the smallest degree, my grandfather would go, "I can't believe they put this on television." And I was watching that show, and I go, this would kill him. If he saw a second of this show, it would be a heart attack for that man.
Sipowicz's butt on NYPD Blue would have killed him.
Right.
Actually, 32 people did die that night.
Not his career.
Not his career.
That helped everything.
But now you make me think of, remember Red Shoes Diaries?
Yes.
I never watched
with
that.
David Duchovny.
Yeah, David Duchovny.
Yeah, he was on that.
Was that sexy? I never watched it.
Yes, it was very sexy.
Boy, listen to you two.
Yes.
It was.
Love American Style wasn't enough for either of you?
All right, it's so funny you say that because my friend Ed in grade school was not allowed to watch Love American Style because his parents thought that was too much.
My girlfriend Carol couldn't watch
it either.
Same
thing.
My mom said nothing. And
Love
the weird
American
thing, we watched it together as a family because you had one TV in one room.
Yep.
And I just remember I didn't know beds could roll down the street so frequently and so quickly.
It's the weirdest thing in the 70s, in the 60s.
Until you
and
saw
70s,
Real Sex 10, and then they showed it.
I never made it to 10.
There was always something weird because Love American Style did it, The Monkees did it.
Oh,
there was always something about moving a bed through a street in a city that excited people. I don't know what that offers you, but all right.
And think about it, most of our beds don't have wheels on the frame.
Very few.
That's just like a temporary setup.
Right. Right.
Or a hospital bed.
Right. But there was always a scene on Love American Style where Stuart Margolin was being wheeled through a street in a city in a bed. I don't get it. That said, I have to say this. I was in New York for 3 days, and you've been to New York once, right?
For a few hours with Buzz Kilman, and that's all you need with Buzz.
Do you, when you're in New York, it's like, I don't drink coffee, but just being in New York, you get like a contact
high from the smell
so
and the
much,
roasting.
There's this weird energy that nowhere else I've ever been carries, you know? But in New York, it's always like that.
I love New York.
I do too.
I love to just be there, walk, spend hours just walking around.
I gotta go
feel
there.
Feel vibrant and alive. Not that you don't hear, but
it's different though. It's faster paced.
It's so much faster paced. And people are, but you know, New York has this reputation as being like the rudest city in America. It's not.
No, not at all.
It's really, really not. But people just, I don't know. I'll give you a quick example. My wife and my daughter Reese were in a cab, and the cab turned and hit a biker you know, because they have biking lanes much like they do in Chicago, and everyone's in a hurry. There's nobody taking their time in New York. Everybody needs to be somebody or somewhere now. And he just turned and knocked this guy off his bike, and they yelled at each other and swore at each other and moved on.
The guy was okay, obviously.
Yeah, he was okay, but that's just the way it is
in New
York.
That's nice.
It's not that it's nice.
It's just, not nice.
It's right. just the way it's handled there. It's like, I'm going to take 20 seconds now to let you know that you wronged me, and then it'll be like it never happened.
And then they're back on track.
Yeah.
But you know what? For me, it's like walking around in your life, in the part of your life that you only experienced on TV or in the movies, because so many places are familiar or streetscapes, and all your life so much has been New York-centric.
Right.
And then when you're in it, it's like, it's coming, like, I don't know if it's like the Truman Show, like you're seeing the set or something.
Right.
When is Steve Bertrand the movie coming out? Because I'd like to see that.
But it's true. Like, if you ask somebody where something is, like here in Chicago, they give you a very specific address, you know? But in New York, they'll look at you and they'll go, it's like 3rd and 8th. And then they'll just move on.
That's it.
I don't know what that means.
And again, that's nice.
It's not nice or not nice. It's just the way that business is conducted there, you know? I don't have time to go into detail. I'm just going to tell you quick and move on. Everybody's like that.
When is the last time you've been to New York?
I've been there three times within the last year. Yeah.
Okay. Was it weird the first time to go there after 9/11 and see the Twin Towers not there?
The first time, yes, because I went a short time after, less than a year after. And not only was it weird to look where the Twin Towers were and weren't anymore, but I got to be honest, everywhere I went that trip, I was uneasy.
Yeah.
But that's
to be expected.
I didn't think that would ever go away, and it has gone away. Like,
you got to move on.
Yeah.
And they have.
Yeah.
New Yorkers have moved
very
on.
Much
Remember
so.
That fake scandal when they were worried about a Muslim community center being built?
Yes.
I found outrageous. But so I happened to be visiting there once. I took Noah for a weekend. And he was in middle school and actually studying that in current events. So we went to the World Trade Center and then counted the steps. We found the spot, you know, where this community center was going to be.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a report on it. But that's kind of like what I mean. Like, you sit here and you read about these things there. And when you go there, it's just, whether it's the Time Warner building or the TV studios or whatever.
Right.
You know, that you've been watching your whole life.
Yeah. They're all just there. Like, everywhere you go, oh, I know there. I've seen
Empire
that.
Empire State Building.
Yeah. It's always looming somewhere. They move it around to give it a backdrop. Wherever you're looking in New York, they move the Empire State Building so it's in the background.
And did you go to the Dakota where John Lennon was shot?
I have never been to the Dakota. I've been close by, but...
Because I feel like all these memorable, tragic events that happened in New York, as I would go by the area, I would feel like I was punched in the stomach.
No, I understand that. I get that.
But again, you have to move on, and I've been to New York just to cover the second season of The Sopranos. That's how long ago this was with Buzz. We did a meet and greet with Lorraine Bracco, which was awesome. Michael Madsen, which was crazy. And then we went. Buzz took me to Carnegie Deli, and then we hopped on a red eye and came home.
You got to spend time, and it's so incredible to just walk around. Like, I just love walking around.
People watching must be awesome
it's
there.
That and Las Vegas are the two best people watching cities in the world.
I don't want to see those people in Vegas.
I know you don't think you do, but when you're there, if you ever have a moment to just sit on a bench and watch people passing by.
It's good times.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more shows, so stay here, okay? It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Do you remember a year ago, John had one of these shows with Thomas Jefferson? And Thomas Jefferson was sick and couldn't do the show. And filling in for Thomas Jefferson was Wheezy Jefferson. And what a show that was.
Wheezy. She's no longer with us.
No, we've lost Wheezy.
Was it a hologram?
Yes.
Her voice was so low.
Yes.
She gave Maude a run for her money, Walter.
I missed you. I missed throwing out those crazy references just to make you laugh.
Yeah, that was a good time. I like a good D. Arthur story. Also, I just really, really quick before we get on with the show, the reason I was in New York is my daughter Kylie developed an app called Outro. What happened was, in a very short span of time, Kylie had two friends get drugged in different bars in New York, and it was very upsetting to her. One was upsetting, but the second one, Kylie just said, this is outrageous. So she was telling her friend how she wishes there was some site you could look up online that rated bars at the time, she said, New York, And they said, well, we should make this happen. So they went and talked to investors, and they created this app called Outro that's great. So they did a launch party for it in New York. And I started to tell you before the show, I get so emotional when my kids do anything. When Reese or Kylie do anything, I just tear up. And she made this incredible speech with all these people there. There were 250 or 300 people there. And I was just so I am so proud of her. So at some point, we'll have her on to talk about this app.
Yes.
Because it really is, the timing on this is perfect. You know,
and it's a free app called Outro.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
I'm going to download it today at the App Store.
Outro.
I have to say that this is just really bizarre because you are not a technological wizard. And look what your daughter has gone and done.
I made the mistake a couple of weeks ago. She was in town, and I said, we were talking about this party, this launch party, and I said, the launch party for your website. And she goes, for my what? And I go, your website. And she goes, you mean my app? And I don't know the difference. So I go, yeah, that's the same thing, right? It's not.
Well, they eventually will have a website,
they
I'm
already
sure.
Do.
All right.
I think they already do. But yeah, I didn't know that.
But you're a guy who doesn't have any apps on your phone. You're going to have to get this, although you're not going to bars too much. And can I just say, I commend you and Terry.
Yeah.
When your girls went away to school,
yeah.
I believe it was you two who said, don't leave your drink unattended ever.
You know, my wife especially, I wouldn't have even thought
me
about
neither.
This. But it's become a thing now. Where that's guys do this. I assume girls might also do it, but it's a guy thing primarily, where they'll see a girl in a bar or restaurant setting, and if they leave their drink unattended, you know, for any reason, they'll pop
something
in it.
Go to the bathroom, playing darts.
And it happened to two of Kylie's friends within a very short span of time. And that's one of the reasons they created this app, was to make women realize which places are safe for them and not safe. And there's other categories, too. I'm just scratching the surface of what this is. But I wouldn't know, honestly, if I had the greatest idea in the world, Wendy, and I said to you, I should turn this into an app. And then I would just go, but I don't know how to.
Well, now you can ask your daughter.
I will.
Kylie will help you set it up.
That's what I'll do from now on. All right. Do you tell this story, because it's too unbelievable for me.
All right. First of all, I have to say, yesterday I was listening to the Ro Khan show, and I heard Judy Pylak do the tease for this song.
Story.
Yes, not song. Although she sang
Did
Delta
she sing
Dawn.
The news?
Yes, that we found out that's her go-to karaoke song.
Yeah.
Were you here for that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't remember when you were here. Florida man with no arms arrested for stabbing tourist.
Oh.
So I hear that, and I'm like, I got to sit in my car and listen to this mm-hmm. now. And I will give Ro Khan credit where credit was due, because as soon as she teased it, here's Judy. Florida man with no arms arrested for stabbing tourist. Ro pauses and says, that's some fancy footwork.
Very nice. Very nice.
So good job, Ro. Yes, an armless popular street artist was arrested for stabbing a tourist in Miami, Florida, according to the Miami Herald.
Sure, tourist from Chicago.
Yes.
Oh, no.
The incident happened early Tuesday when Chicago native Cesar Coronado and a friend were reportedly asking for directions.
And remind me again, Wendy, is Cesar a popular street artist, you're saying?
No. The guy who stabbed him was a popular street artist.
Oh, I thought his name was...
No.
I thought that was his name.
Jonathan Crenshaw is the...
He's the popular street artist.
Yes.
Okay.
In Florida, though. You don't live in Florida. Otherwise, you'd know him.
But I think most Americans, if you said quickly, give me the names of one popular street artist.
He has no arms. He stands out. Well,
I guess,
he does.
I guess he does. He does.
A police report claims Jonathan Crenshaw clutched a pair of scissors between his feet and stabbed the 22-year-old twice in his arm. He was taken to a local hospital after officers found him lying on the floor. Now, Crenshaw says his actions were in self-defense.
Really?
The 46-year-old says he was sleeping when Coronado kicked him in the head. Oh. If that's true...
Then you have every right.
It's a weird story because, I mean, the police know this guy Crenshaw,
yeah.
And yet they believed the other guy's story.
Yeah.
And there were two of them there. The Chicagoan was traveling with a friend, but it just seems...
Listen, I don't...
Odd.
If you're looking for directions, you're going to look for someone... walking around, hustling and or bustling.
Right.
You're not going to wake up a sleeping guy who could potentially be a homeless person who may not know the directions.
Right.
So I find it odd that they would kick him in the head and go, hey, buddy, how do I get to this place?
And yet the police charged him. You know, I mean,
the street artist.
If you read the story, like if you're going to be Judge Wapner and you hear the two different versions, the street guy's version seems more likely, but...
Couldn't you?
But the police got the evidence and chose to charge the street guy.
If a guy was going to stab you with scissors, using his feet, you would have some time to react to that, wouldn't you?
I don't know. This guy doesn't have arms. He's probably
pretty adept. Yeah. All right.
And after Crenshaw, who is homeless, he's known in South Beach for painting canvases with his feet. After stabbing the Coronado, Crenshaw says he placed the scissors in his waistband and walked away from the scene.
How does he get it? I don't know.
All right, and in a previous profile with the Miami News Times, Crenshaw shared his interesting backstory. He was born in Alabama. Crenshaw says his mother fed him rat poison in an effort to obtain health insurance.
Oh.
He also shared how he was over 200 kids performing or with music icon Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
He was charged with aggravated battery using a deadly weapon. He's being held on $7,500 bond at a correctional center, and he will come before a judge on Wednesday, July 18th.
Yeah. Yep. Wow, that's quite a story.
It is quite a story.
Who would have thought in Florida? Right? That's a shocker, isn't it? Nobody saw that.
Shall we take a break and come back with the 10:30 news? Sound good to you? Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah, we're going to rock you like a hurricane bird.
Why don't you always talk that way? That's such a great voice. You should always use that voice.
It's probably less annoying than my real voice. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
Okay.
How soon before your kids move to Brazil if you talk like that? They would just move, wouldn't they?
At least they'd be into the World Cup.
Yeah, that's so true. Let's discuss a little about what's going on over at Papa John's.
It's not pretty.
It's a disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, we talked a little about this on the stream yesterday, and I try to mind my manners when I'm talking to a client, a stranger, not usually my family, but anyone who's not my family, and when I'm on the radio, I don't say offensive things. I really try not to, and I don't say certain words ever, so it's not like it would slip. Someone who, quote, slips... to me, I feel uses that word frequently. Am I wrong in that assumption?
We
still don't know how it was used.
No, we do.
Oh, now the exact way it
John
was?
John Schnatter, who is the CEO of Papa John's.
But still the owner.
Still the owner. The principal owner, right? Was on a conference call, and he was talking about how the NFL has hurt sales. Because he maintains now.
So this was last year.
This was in
late last year, I think.
Was it late last year? I'm trying to remember. All right,
I'm just saying it's not the current. This is leading up to the current.
Right. So his belief is, with the political stance that the players took in kneeling, that made the NFL look bad, which made sales go down because they are the official pizza of the NFL. So he was complaining because sales were a little soft in the last year at Papa John's. So he was complaining that the NFL should have done more to not let the players do this and hurt the NFL, in his opinion, and to hurt the sales, in his opinion. So then he used an example of Colonel Sanders, and he said that Colonel Sanders used to call African-American people the N-word. He said this on a conference call. And that's way worse than what's going on.
Okay,
and Reba McEntire threw her wig off.
Yes.
Why do you bring that up? And why don't you say it like you just said it? Was he trying to get shock value?
No, I'm not here to defend him because I can't defend him because I don't want to defend him. But I think what he was trying to do is say, there have been other people who have done worse things, and there's been no price to pay, and that was his example. But even if you felt you needed to use that as an example, because people have alluded to that in the past, that Harlan Sanders
was a racist. People have suggested that. Yes, allegedly.
People have suggested that. So
when was he growing up, though? Wasn't it a highly more racial time and in the South? Not that it's right.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Harlan Sanders would be over 100 years old today, you know? So, yes, the world was a different place.
And
not making it right.
No, but that was bandied about more frequently. It was 100 years ago, and it was in the South.
Yeah.
Not that it's acceptable, right. but it was happening.
Right, 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 right.
And what does Colonel Sanders have to do with it? I just don't get it. And who was on this conference call? And who turned him into Forbes? Did someone record it? You know, we have our weekly conference calls at work.
Yeah.
Those can be recorded. Did someone have a tape of this?
It was a media training call, is what I read.
Yeah.
That's not good training, in my opinion.
Well, maybe so. Then if you try to figure out a context, maybe he was saying, like, look, you can't say this.
Colonel Sanders could say this thing, but you can't say that.
But would you still say the word?
No,
I wouldn't.
Never.
I would not say the word.
There's no way to defend using that word.
Right.
Even if you said, hey, if you have a customer in our store and they use that word, kick them out. There's no reason to say
right.
it.
Right. How quiet do you think things got on the other side of that conference call when he pulled out that word? Right. I wonder how much time elapsed before anyone else said anything. Or if you quickly said something to diffuse it, you know?
Or if there was an audible gasp.
Right. Or if Colonel Sanders called in and go, leave me out of it. I don't want any part of this conversation. I don't want in on this. Or one of the many actors who have played Colonel right. Sanders over the last couple of years.
I just don't understand it. And yes, he's removed as president of the board of directors of Papa John's. And I know the stocks went down when this happened, and then it went up after he resigned, but he still owns the company.
They're saying that he made over $50 million in the last day or so because of his dismissal. Isn't that crazy?
His dismissal?
Yeah. So he won't
be... Oh, I'm sorry.
He will no longer be CEO. He will still be the principal owner.
But what does that matter, then? What do I care?
You know what it's similar to? It's very similar to Roseanne Barr's story,
yes.
where... Even though her name will be off the show and she won't be on the show, she will still profit from it.
But she claims she's giving those profits.
I hope so. I hope that's the case.
I can't remember.
To Colonel Sanders.
they would pal around if he was still alive.
I think they might. All right. So here's the question. And Steve and I were discussing this earlier today. I don't frequent them very much, Papa John's. I think I've had Papa John's twice in the last 10 years.
I had it once ever.
Once ever. All right.
It's not bad, but
it's an okay pizza.
Yeah, it's okay.
You don't go out of your way for it. It's
cheap.
It's fine.
If you're having a kid party, go ahead and get it.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. So who today, with all that's going on, says, I got to get some Papa John's? Like, wouldn't that be the last thing you would do if you had any kind of conscience at all? You just go, I can't do it. You know, you just go there. After all this, so even if he made, let's say he did make exactly $50 million in the last 24 hours for his dismissal, some buyout payment of $50 million, I think in the long run, sales will not only not even that out, but he'll lose money, won't he?
You know what he should do? When Colin Kaepernick started this whole Black Lives Matter and mistreatment of African Americans, and he took a knee, which... I don't know. I don't want to get into that whole thing, but he didn't want to turn his back to the flag. He thought taking a knee was the proper way to do
it. Right.
And it lost its meaning. Everybody turned it into you were anti-veteran or anti-armed forces if you did it.
Yeah.
But Colin Kaepernick put his money where his mouth was. And before he couldn't find a job anymore, he gave lots of money to organizations that help with discrimination.
Right.
What if Papa John came up and said, I made that $500 million, and you know what? I am so sorry for my comment, and I want to donate a portion of this money to some of these groups. Do you think that would change things? Because I think it would.
It would sure be a step in the right direction.
Get him on the phone, Jasmine. I got an idea for Papa John.
Wendy has an idea, Jasmine. Get Papa John on the
phone. I'll be Mama Wendy. Right. There was a Mama Celeste. Why could there not be a Mama Wendy?
We're being told he is not available. He's at a taping of Amos and Andy, Wendy. Who would have thought that? I didn't see that coming, did you? So, yeah, if he says, yes, I just profited from all this, but I will turn this into a positive by donating the money, then good for him. That would be the smartest, best thing to do right now. Does it forgive him? Probably not.
No, and, you know, sometimes we can't forgive. Sometimes we can forgive and can't forget.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be more apt to go, you know what? He said a stupid thing.
Right.
But right now, I'm not a fan.
Right. It's so weird because there have been people who have said worse things. I'm the last thing I'm doing is defending him. I'm not. I know what he was going for, but the way he tried to pull it off was as wrong can be. In a conference call situation, not even in a conference call situation, if you're talking to one person, the way by which he used the term, not that there's a right way to use the
term.
You
don't say that word anymore.
You just wouldn't say it.
And not defending Colonel Sanders, but that word was used frequently. And once you learn the hatred behind that word, you never utter it again. Ever.
Hopefully.
Not white people.
Right.
I'm sorry. I hear that word, and there's an F-A word that I cannot stand either.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it.
Yeah.
And I will say something.
Yeah.
I will say, please don't say that in front
right.
of me. Right. You know, years ago, Judy Pilek and I were talking about that. Years ago, you'd kind of go, when someone said it. Now I'm like, please don't use that language around me. I'd rather hear the F word before the N word or the F-A word.
Oh, yeah. When I was doing stand-up frequently after a show, if you were still in the club, you know, people would hang out, they'd want to talk to you, and they would tell you a joke. Hey, I got a joke for you. And every once in a while, that joke contained one of the words that makes us uncomfortable, and I would always just walk away.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Joke. I'm out.
And you're out of there.
I don't need this. Thanks, though. All right, what are your thoughts on this? We're at 312-981-7200. What happens now with John Schnatter and the people over at Papa John's? Would you still go to them? What does he need to do to make this right? Give us a call or a text. We would love to hear from you. We're playing music from Wendy's iPod today on the show.
Better than your Hall & Oates every
not
minute.
Better, different. Just different. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about the Papa John's controversy. John Schnatter, the former CEO of Papa John's, still owner though, made an interesting comment on a conference call there was a missing link to this that I just found.
Why?
Because I couldn't figure out what exactly would bring him up to talk about Colonel Sanders. But somebody wanted to know, let me see where the exact thing. Schnatter was asked how he could distance himself. He was on a conference call where they were talking about various media relations.
With other, with employees of the store or other, board members, uppity-ups, muckety-mucks. We don't know that,
don't
see?
Really go into specifics. Right. But he was asked how he would distance himself from racist groups online because there were people that were applauding him and there were people that were taking shots at him for his criticism of the NFL, right? So that was the question, and his answer to this was Colonel Sanders called blacks, and then he said the N-word. And then he said, and Sanders never faced any public backlash. So that's the reason he brought it up, but a very unsuccessful attempt to use Colonel Sanders as an example of how to conduct business.
In my opinion, when I'm trying to make myself look better or defend myself, I don't want to drag anyone else down.
Right.
In the meantime.
Right.
Well, he gets away with it. I do that with management with you. I'm like, well, Bill gets away with doing this stuff.
What do they say to that?
They say he's Bill. He has Bill rules.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
He can't control himself.
If you're trying to defend yourself or you believe in what you're doing, you defend yourself. You don't say, well, look at this guy.
Right.
I just think that's a crappy way to do it. You're bringing someone else down to make yourself look better.
Yeah. Somebody called in and wanted to know, and I think this is a pretty good question. Over the last several years over at KFC, at Kentucky Fried Chicken, they've had a myriad of actors come in and play the role of Colonel Sanders in this ad campaign. Daryl Hammond, Rob Riggle, you mentioned Reba McEntire for a little while, George Hamilton. There's been six or seven
Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows. So the question is, should those actors feel guilty for playing Colonel Sanders? Should they? I don't know.
See,
I don't think
this
so.
This is on an individual basis because I know I'm not watching Roseanne's show anymore because it's not on. I don't like what she did. She made me mad. If she didn't get fired and it would continue, I gotta tell you, I don't know if I would refuse to watch it. There are movies when Bill Cosby had his trouble and Kevin Spacey. I know that you don't want to give them money and support them. I don't know that I would not. I haven't seen Baby Driver. Kevin Spacey's in it. I kind of want to see it. I'm late to the party,
right. But
I don't know if I would boycott something because of that. So again, Colonel Sanders was a different era in the South,
right?
And I think Colonel Sanders is no longer with us. I don't think the company today represents what he said 100 years ago or whatever.
I want to say I would need to hear the context by which Colonel Sanders ever used the N-word, but there's no way that that's going to win you over, right? If somebody had a tape
I'll go
of
there
it,
now.
Right. That would make it would only make it worse. There's no way in the world it could ever improve it, right?
So what does this Schnatter guy have to say about Taco Bell? Because apparently he's just bringing down chains left and right.
Right. Well,
got in trouble with the Chihuahua, didn't they?
They did actually get into some trouble with the Chihuahua. People said it was rude to bring an animal into this. Was it Del Giorno's? Somebody was making fun of this when it first happened. I want to say Del Giorno's, the frozen pizza place, made some joke about the fact
that... Rising Crust pizza people?
Yeah, that's them. That's the Del Giorno people. I'm almost positive it was them. I don't remember exactly what they said, but they took a shot at this when the story first broke.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use that word ever. And once we've learned the hatred behind it, I don't think we should use that word. And even saying the N-word, everybody knows what you're talking about.
It's a watered-down version. I still, every time it comes up in a story, I don't even want to say the N-word. The word the N-word to me is like, ugh.
Everyone knows what it is. But now in Tom Sawyer, where some people were saying to take it out of the book, I don't think they should. That's literature that was written then.
Right.
It's not our feelings today.
Right.
So, again, it's history, whether you like it or not.
Do you know, I think I've told you this before, there were episodes of Sanford and Son, so this was in the 1970s, where the word was said on a sitcom. It was part of the script. They just said
Rollo said it the most.
Was it Rollo? Was Rollo behind this? So I remember at the time, so this was in the 70s, and I was a kid watching Sanford and Son, and the word would come up, and I go, wow, that's weird. That's because everybody was very sensitive to the words you couldn't say on TV. And as a
swear
kid,
words,
I go,
mostly.
That's so weird that they would just say that word on television. But now, for a sitcom to throw that in, although Larry David did it on at least one episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So why wasn't there backlash for him?
I can't figure that out. I don't know the answer to that.
Was Leon in the scene?
It was a scene where Larry's character wanted to pal around with a rapper, and he kept saying, I'm your blank word. That was like a running joke through the episode. And it was very uncomfortable, but
yeah, it was.
Somehow... So I don't know. I don't know what the boundaries are.
Because there was
a
black person in the scene with them, perhaps?
So did that make it okay?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't understand why my brain allowed it that time. And I've told you before, when Richard Pryor would use it all the time, all the time, I didn't even hear it. I would just hear Richard Pryor talking.
Again, though, that was a different time, Bill.
Yeah.
Whether you said it or your family said it, you heard it said
right. Back
then. Now you don't. Now it stands out because we've all learned.
Yeah, right.
You gotta advance, people.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and then there's a lot more show, so stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Alexander Zalbin joins us on Fridays.
We had a bad connection because sometimes that happens in the world of cellular land.
Oh.
So we will get him back on, Alexander Zalbin. You know, while we're getting him back, I got to tell you, you got to watch this. I'm dying up here on Showtime. It was season 2 finale.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This show it's not funny as much as it is a drama. It is the best show on television right now, next to Preacher.
I don't have Showtime, so I have to wait until it's on another service.
Maybe it's on Netflix season 1 at least now.
I keep looking, not yet.
All right, I'll
let
you
know. You've been recommending it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and I have a show for you, That Girl with Marlo Thomas.
I loved that show.
Ted Bessel steals your heart, Wendy. I don't know how he does it.
Donald.
Every week, Donald Hollinger comes in and he steals your heart.
I could see why.
And Lou Marie does not like him.
Lou Marie. That's right.
So I'm hoping at some point that's resolved.
Let's blast into 2018 with right. Alexander Zalvin right now.
Hi, Alex. There's cobwebs on Wendy and me. Don't worry. Everything's fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fresh and ready to go.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, this is a big week. They just announced the nominees for the Emmy Awards. Any big surprises?
Always. There's always some big surprises, always some big snubs. The biggest story that everybody's talking about is HBO has dominated the Emmy Awards for years.
Mm-hmm. They've got not anymore.
So far, not anymore. Now Netflix is number one. Last year, Netflix had 91 nominations to HBO's 111. This year, Netflix has 112 to HBO's 108. And just to give you a sense of that scale for both of them, because they're both amazing. The next closest network is NBC, who had 78 nominations.
Because of This Is Us?
This Is Us and a couple of other programs. There's a lot of technical awards that go into these things, but Game of Thrones, the interesting thing, and I think you can read this story either way, Game of Thrones basically got nominated for two shows, Game of Thrones and Westworld. Netflix, on the other hand, had a wide swath of shows it got nominated for, including The Crown and Godless and Stranger Things, and Glow got a ton of nominations as well. So you can look at that as Netflix is in a better position going forward to get even more awards because they're dominating TV. Or alternately, you can look at it as HBO has these two incredible quality shows in Game of Thrones and Westworld, and they're dominating and potentially will continue dominating going forward. So I've honestly seen stories posted both ways on various websites. Mm-hmm. So take it as you will. But that was definitely the big story coming out of yesterday.
So when this news comes out, if you're one of the traditional networks, the early networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, does this crush you, or do you just go, well, that's the way it is now. What can we do?
I think it's a little bit of both. There's definitely a lot of frustration coming out of the broadcast networks because they don't know what the way is forward. And Netflix is sucking up so much air in the room. You know, we've been talking about this the past couple
Alexander,
weeks,
we have to cut you off for just one moment. We go live to the newsroom and Doma Tipongo with some breaking news. All right, it's back in action with an abbreviated version of our television segment today. Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com, a pretty fabulous website. Don't have a lot of time, so you let us know what you want to discuss right now.
Oh, boy. Well, you guys probably want to talk about Who is America, the show that's coming up on Sunday on Showtime.
Can't wait.
This is
why do I not know about this?
Wendy, this is made for you.
Yeah, this is the reason you didn't know about it is because nobody knew about it before last week, and information only started coming out over this week. It's from Sacha Baron Cohen, who did Borat and Bruno and everything else. For the past year, he has been secretly filming a show called Who is America, where he plays new characters. He has interviewed so many people. Sarah Palin, the big news came out, freaked out about it because she didn't realize she was being interviewed by him. She thought
because
she was
he was in disguise.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We wondered how this was going to take place because you know him, you know of him, and mm-hmm. he had prosthetics on and was in a wheelchair, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
So he got Dick Cheney to sign a water board. It came out that he talked to Joe Arapio as well. So we don't know exactly what the show is going to be. We know he is actually trying to find out what is going on America on both sides. So it seems like it'll be somewhat bipartisan. We'll see what happens, but it's definitely going to be a television event. That's 10 p.m. on Showtime on Sunday.
Can't wait.
Maybe you want to get Showtime, Bill.
Maybe for this. This might be worth it. All right, so that's good news there. For fans of Downton Abbey, there's something of a resurgence. Please explain.
Yeah, this is the big news that happened just this morning. The Downton Abbey movie is officially happening. The show hasn't been away for too long. It only came on 2000. Left the air on 2015, but it's coming back for the movie. The whole cast, as far as we know, should be involved. The only official thing that we know is that they've secured Downton Abbey, the building itself, to film in. But the behind-the-scenes folks, Julian Fellowes and everybody else, are still there. Other than that, there's a lot of questions in the air. Is there going to be a time jump? Will they pick up at a different time or location. You know, what exactly is going to be involved? We'll just have to wait and see, but they're going to be filming it starting pretty soon.
And is that a theatrical release, Alexander, or will that be on television?
That's a theatrical release, so that's a big change where we in the United States watched it on PBS. Presumably, there'll be some sort of events on TV happening around it, but yeah, you'll have to go to a movie theater for that one.
Two words for you, and it's hyphenated, X-Files. I was so disappointed in the X-Files movie, and even Twin Peaks for that matter, so I hope it's
good. I'll tell you what, though. If there's an alien invasion of a Downton Abbey movie, I'm into it.
It sounds good. I keep saying the word, but I don't know what it means. It's Bosch, B-O-S-C-H.
Best power tools around. That's what I know.
Are they finally making a TV show out of the power tools? I hope so.
There actually is a TV show called Bosch that has been running on Amazon Prime Video for a couple of seasons now. It stars Titus Welliver, who is one of those guys you probably see it around. It's based on a bunch of mystery novels. But one of our writers, Josh Surikatch, did honestly the craziest experiment that I have ever seen in my years in entertainment journalism. He texted 100 people the word Bosch with no explanation, no follow-up or anything, just to kind of see what would happen. And the result is hilarious. I mean, not to specifically plug our website, but check out Desire.com. He broke it down. Some people just sent back question marks. Some people never answered him. He tweeted it at The Rock to see what would happen. And the official Bosch account on Twitter got super into it. They ended up sending out a challenge to their fans, said, hey, just start tweeting Bosch at people. So we'll see. Maybe it's going to go viral. We'll see what happens.
A couple of months ago, Titus Welliver is an actor. He used to be on Deadwood. He was great on Deadwood. He was great on Lost. I found out that, like myself, he's a big action figure collector. So I sent him a note, and he sent me the nicest note back because I said to him, I want to have you on when Bosch comes back. So we'll have him on the show. But he's a really good guy. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. We've just exchanged emails. But I hope nothing but good things happen for him in the show.
Well, that's great news.
Yeah. All right. What else should we know about this weekend about television? Is there anything coming on that is a must-see thing for us? Is there a moment of the week?
I was thinking that the Downton Abbey thing was the wow moment of the week. The other thing that I'd throw out there as a wow moment of the week, just going back to the Emmys, there was a short-form series from a writer on The Good Place called Megan Amram.
She's got the best Twitter feed ever in the whole wide world, and The Good Place has actually been pretty good.
Yeah, so she created a web series. Oh, gosh, I am blanking on the exact name, but I believe it's Megan Amram Wants an Emmy. An Emmy for Megan was the name of the series. It's 6 episodes. Basically, she found out the absolute minimum you have to do to win an Emmy Award or get nominated for an Emmy Award. So she did a whole series about trying to explore how to get an Emmy Award, and it got nominated for 2 Emmys.
Oh, excellent.
I got to see that.
Good.
It's fantastic, particularly if you're a Good Place fan. There's some guest stars from The Good Place that show up throughout the series. It's a lot of fun.
That's such a good show because they set themselves up in a nice universe where anything can happen. And on a weekly basis, there's no rules for that show. Anything can happen on there. I love it.
It's fantastic. It reinvents itself on a weekly basis. Yeah. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I just started watching it, and I'm catching up. It's really good. Ted Danson's great.
Yeah, he is. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. Thanks for all the information. And we talked a lot about the Emmy Awards. Those are coming up when? In late August or early September?
Early September. So there's going to be plenty more going on with that as we wrap up to the ceremony.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Have yourself a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That's Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor over at Decider.com, a really fun website. We'll take a quick break and then some news.
Let me just say 12 Russian intelligence officers indicted for hacking in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. We'll have all those stories and more coming up next on 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. He's back in action. I'm Wendy Snyder. I'll be out of action, missing in action next week.
All next week, huh?
Thank you for holding the fort down, as I did for you, I have to say.
Well, it's only fair, then.
We have a show psychologist, and we have a show attorney, and he is Rich Lankoff. And, Rich, thank you, because someday we'll need you.
Sometimes it's both, right? Sometimes you got to combine those.
so many times, many, many times. All right, so we bring you on to talk about various legal issues. I know this is very fresh, and you probably haven't had time to digest it, but what do you make of what's going on with this Russian probe?
I mean, it's interesting timing, right? I mean, Trump is in England, and just at 11:30, we learned that 12 Russians have been indicted by the Justice Department as part of the Russian hacking probe. You know, I haven't seen Trump's reaction. I imagine it's either
nothing
out or imminent.
Twitter yet.
But his response is obviously going to be this still doesn't prove that there's any nexus between the Russians and my campaign.
That's true.
And, you know, his supporters have been saying consistently, I mean, as recently as last weekend, Giuliani was all over the Sunday shows questioning the Mueller probe, saying that this is the most corrupt probe in history. We saw yesterday the testimony of Peter Strzok before the House, and they were going after him, trying to find out the reason that the probe started and trying to allege that he was biased and that's why he was fired by Mueller. This is all part of the overall story. Again, Trump and his supporters are going to say that this doesn't prove that there's any connection between him and Russia.
But when Giuliani refers to this as corrupt, what exactly is he finding corrupt about it?
Well, he's saying that the allegation, I mean, no one's really attacking Mueller, right? I mean, everyone really thinks that Mueller's a Boy Scout, but they are saying that people like Strzok and the woman Page, the FBI agent who's testifying today, because of their bias, as evidenced by the texts that have been uncovered saying we're going to prevent Trump from being president and all these things. They're saying that that is the reason for the probe into Russia, and it doesn't have any actual substance. And Giuliani has said consistently, show us the evidence. If there's really evidence of collusion or obstruction, show us what you have. Now, of course, why would you show it to them? I mean, that's not how it works,
that
right?
In your back pocket.
And they've also said, Giuliani and Trump supporters have said, you know, with all the leaks that have gone in the Mueller probe, we haven't heard a piece of evidence linking Trump to the Russians. Well, obviously. I mean, the report's not out yet. Most people are saying, let's wait until Mueller does his job, releases the report. That's when you'll see evidence, if there is.
But this should be reported first, and now if there is some evidence of collusion, wouldn't that probably follow this fairly quickly?
No question. I mean, all this, the 12 Russians who are indicted, these are all assets for the government. These are all strong moves for the Mueller probe to prove that there is this conspiracy. And remember, as a practical matter, as we've talked about in your show before, what you're getting in these indictments is potentially people who will give you more information. The value of these indictments, as is the case with Manafort, as is the case with many of the indictments we've seen in the Mueller case, is not necessarily for the underlying crime, right? What you're getting is the potential that one of these will flip on the bigger fish.
Yeah.
So that's the more assets you have, the more tools you have, the more likely it is that you'll get someone to spill the beans.
When you say there's the potential for one or more of these people to flip, is it to save themselves jail time? Is
absolutely
that the reason?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you've seen it on TV all the time when people work out deals. That's what actually happens.
Yeah.
When faced with jail time, you know, people will flip. You know, the big fish, again, like Manafort, he knows a lot that he's probably not telling. Michael Cohen, right? We saw the Michael Cohen interview with Stephanopoulos about 10 days ago where people speculated that because he scrubbed his Twitter account and he now said to Stephanopoulos, well, my priority is my family. People are speculating that he's about to flip. So, you know, people can be brave and loyal up until the time that they're facing real jail time.
Once someone flips, does that water down everybody else's deal? Do they say, well, now we've got one guy?
Absolutely.
It does.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, listen, it's, you know, prosecutors will dangle the first one in. I mean, the first one in who grabs the deal is going to get the best deal, right?
Yeah.
Because that is the most valuable piece of evidence. Now, if that person doesn't have all the information, then obviously their deal might not be as strong. But yeah, the first person in is generally going to cut the best deal.
All right. I have a question. With these indictments that came out today, perhaps there is upcoming evidence to show that there was collusion. I got to be honest with you. What happens? What happens if we do have that information? He's still the president.
Sure. I mean, then it would go to, I mean, all of this is part of, right, the bigger puzzle, including the election. I mean, the potential is that he would be impeached. That is the remedy, as we've covered on your show several times. So, you know, the November elections will determine a large part about whether the Republicans have enough votes to fight an impeachment. The reality is, though, how strong will this evidence be? Impeachment is largely a function of, I think, public sentiment as to whether the votes are there. And the votes are going to be there if the representatives feel that the mood of the public is in favor of impeachment. So the remedy, to answer your question, is impeachment. Whether this is strong enough along with everything else, who knows? I mean, the big question
is
whether...
If he's impeached, there will be riotous moments everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, the big question is whether the Mueller report will be released before the November election. That is really the key element in my mind. And will that happen? Probably not. I mean, we're already in July. You know, this might be a big piece of evidence. We don't know. This is all breaking now. But, you know, for the report to be released by the November elections, we'd really have to see something by September. We're already in, you know, middle July. It's unlikely that Mueller will be done. But who knows? Really, nobody knows what's going on with Mueller and his and the extent of his investigation.
The president alluded to a couple months ago that if it came to it, he could pardon himself. Are we heading in that direction? And if he does do that, what does that do? What does that mean?
Yeah, it could be. And I do think that, you know, a strict interpretation of the pardon power, personally, I think it does allow Trump, by the technical letter of the law, to pardon himself.
No, now, this is, president's ever done this.
No,
right?
President's ever done it. It's not in the spirit of what, you know, that part of the Constitution allows, is the contrary argument. But of course, this is uncharted territory. Whether he will, I think it's certainly within, you know, the Trump world to do that. It's certainly something he would do. And a big question is the Supreme Court. Later today, we're taping our show, Legal Face-Off. We're having two former Supreme Court clerks on to discuss Brett Kavanaugh, who's the nominee to replace Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that you would ask Kavanaugh, that they will ask Kavanaugh during his confirmation hearings before the Senate here imminently, is your question, whether the president can pardon himself. I expect Kavanaugh won't answer that question. Generally, these proceedings are sort of a joke. But that's going to be a big question. And ultimately, if there's a 5-4 block, which we expect mm-hmm. in the Supreme Court, if Kavanaugh joins the court, that's a key question. If these issues come up before the Supreme Court, one big concern among anti-Trump advocates is it proper for someone who has already expressed in prior writings. Kavanaugh wrote in 2009 in a Minnesota Law Review article that the president should have wide-reaching powers and shouldn't be bogged down in these kind of things. So a lot of people who are opposing Kavanaugh are saying because he might be a deciding vote in these questions, whether the president can pardon himself, whether he has to answer subpoenas, that Kavanaugh either shouldn't be on the court or at worst should recuse himself from that story. So there's lots of interesting legal elements to
and
that
no
question.
Other president has ever pardoned himself before. That was the allure of Donald Trump. He's doing a lot of stuff that no president has ever done before, and people wanted to shake it up. Here's
correct.
Your shakeup.
I think you're exactly right. I think what you're saying, you know, despite the fact that we on the legal analyst side and on your show, we like to talk about, you know, these little convenient things like the law and the rules and what's right. I think the appeal of Trump will continue to be that he doesn't really play by those rules. And it doesn't matter whether anyone has ever pardoned themselves before. I think most Trump supporters certainly, and many in the general public will feel that these issues don't rise to the level of impeachment, and this is Trump. This is what we elected him for, to your point.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break, and then there's more to discuss. Rich Lenkoff is here.
Back talking to Rich Lenkoff. We don't have a lot of time, Rich. Your podcast is called Legal Face-Off. You can find that at WGN Plus and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
That's all true. Yes, we're taping it today. We've got Gary McCarthy on about his mayoral bid and two former Supreme Court clerks talking about Kavanaugh and lots of other breaking legal news.
Very good. In the time we have left, let's discuss this Puerto Rican shirt story. It's a very interesting one.
Yeah, we just learned that they have filed hate crime charges, which is an elevated charge, obviously, against Timothy Tribus, who we all saw on that video.
A lot of hate involved there. Maybe alcohol inspired, but still a lot of hate.
Yeah, no question. He has a previous conviction for abuse, but...
tell the story. If people don't know the story, tell a little bit.
Yeah, the story is there was a young lady who was wearing a Puerto Rican flag shirt in the Forest Preserve here in Cook County. She had reserved the spot for a birthday, and we saw a video of this 63-year-old gentleman, Timothy Tribus, who was
very belligerent.
Very belligerent. Was in her face, was saying, you know, you shouldn't be wearing that shirt. Are you a citizen? Just berating her for, you know, about three or so minutes.
And if you watch the video, you really expect him to come and either shove her or put... She claimed, you know, I'm uncomfortable here. And then she zoomed to a police officer who was on duty who did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, almost worse than the assault by this bigot was the lack of action by the Forest Preserve officer who has since been terminated. He initially resigned, and they called it a termination. Yeah, he's seen on video doing nothing, literally walking away.
All he had to do was go to the guy and go, come on, buddy, let's get out of here.
Right.
That's all he had to do.
Yeah, he's now said that he was responding to another call. It certainly doesn't look like that on the video.
He's standing there.
He literally almost willingly ignores her. And, you know, when her brother comes up to finally confront this idiot, the police officer then deals with the brother. And she says on the video, well, why are you now reacting to my brother instead of the 4-minute rant that we just saw? So I think hate crime charges are quite appropriate. I think that they are appropriate given the substance of what we saw, but also the message that we need to send to people like this, that it's completely abhorrent to act that way.
So that determination, because obviously the penalty is greater if it's deemed a hate crime. So who's making that decision? A judge is making that decision, and based on what exactly?
So the state's attorney has brought the elevated charges. They moved up from assault and disorderly conduct to class 2 felonies, which carry, as you mentioned, 2 to 5 years in prison. The state's attorney makes that call to raise the charges. And then, like anything else, the defendant can either plead guilty or plead not guilty.
Can
and then
you
they
appeal
will go through
that, though, Rich? Can you say, look, no. I there was an assault, but it was not a hate crime.
You can't appeal that. Your remedy is that you fight the charge and you plead not guilty.
Yeah.
But the decision as to whether to charge a person with a hate crime is solely up to the discretion of the prosecution.
All right. Alarming in several respects, mostly for the person who was there and said, "No, I had another case I needed to solve. I couldn't possibly."
But he's not even like
in
really
a forest preserve.
That's awful.
I mean, what was there, a squirrel stealing nuts? I mean, how serious could the other
terrible
situation have been?
I know. And the video does show him just kind of mulling past, just kind of...
He's just standing there.
And lots of calls
in this.
In the wake of this, lots of calls to disband. And there have been calls in the past to disband this police force that is, you know, a dedicated police force, part of Cook County, but dedicated to the Forest Preserve. They have responded that these officers are not only law enforcement officers, but also de facto park rangers, so they're necessary. Tony Preckwinkle, who's the Cook County chairperson, has defended not these actions, certainly, but the police force in general, but calls to question whether you need these individuals if this is how they're acting to the situation.
Yeah.
Just please get out of people's faces. Just mind your own business.
I'll tell you, she was a lot more reserved than I would have been, than I think
she was
most
holding
people.
It
I mean,
together.
You know, I think she would have been justified in just popping this guy.
Yeah, maybe. Rich, thanks so much for being
here. Thank you.
I really appreciate this. And again, if people want to hear the podcast, how do they do that?
Check it out on WGN.com, WGNplus.com. And we're on, as Wendy mentioned, everywhere you listen to your podcast.
Excellent. That's Rich Lankoff. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're headed to the stream. We'd love to have you join us there. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.